Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show. It's Tuesday. We're cranking on in the week. The news continues to be rather dire pretty much across the entire spectrum. There's certainly a lot of it to get through today. This is a live show. Again, if you want to join us on the air, 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. Matt is twiddling the dials and answering the phones and feeding the giant mutant hamster that runs in that little wire wheel behind the mixer board to power all of this electronics. And so when you call in, that's who will be answering the phone. Obviously, at least here in the alternative media and in the blogosphere, Gaza continues to dominate the news. It is fading rapidly as a major story on the corporate media. We're going to be getting into that in just a little bit. But obviously the big news today is that the Israeli forces bombed and shelled not one, but two schools operated by the United Nations in Gaza. Now, the United Nations is calling for a full investigation because the schools were clearly marked. Their location and purpose was communicated to the government of Israel. Israel has responded by insisting that militants were in the schools and demanding that the United Nations investigate Hamas for using the schools to hide terrorists. And so this is just a classic case of Israel doing whatever it wants to do, and when they get caught, they're just going to come up with, whatever story that they think is going to let them off the hook. And I say this because they've already gone through all the bodies in one of these schools, and what they found are teachers and kids. They haven't found any militants. They haven't found any weapons in these schools. There is nothing whatsoever to support Israel's claim that they were being fired on. And I'd like to call your attention back to the war in Lebanon, when Israel was routinely bombing United Nations facilities because they didn't want the UN there watching what Israel was doing. I mean, Israel doesn't want witnesses. That way they can say whatever they feel like saying and nobody's there to challenge them. That's not entirely true, but that's the intention. That's the goal. Now, turning back here to the United States in this whole mess, the White House has made a lot of statements about we want a sustainable ceasefire, completely ignoring the fact that Israel broke this last one. And even CNN has finally admitted that, yeah, okay, Israel attacked Gaza on November 5th and they killed a bunch of people, and we guess that's why the ceasefire didn't hold up any longer. How magnanimous of CNN to be finally admitting to that which we here in the blogosphere was telling you weeks ago. As usual, the corporate media is way behind the informational curve. Now, one little piece of information. Despite all these comments coming out of President Bush and Condoleezza Rice about wanting a sustainable, verifiable ceasefire, the United States State Department has issued specific orders to U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Zalmay Khalilzad, telling him that he must block, and the actual words were torpedo, any efforts by the United Nations to call for a ceasefire by Israel. So forget what the White House is saying, forget what Condoleezza Rice is saying, forget about all the photo ops and the media opportunities. The official U.S. policy is to block the United Nations from anything that might stop Israel from killing people, including the shelling of schools. Now, we are getting some information out of Gaza. We're actually working on being able to get some guests on the phone line from Gaza for tomorrow who may be able to speak to us despite the bombing of the infrastructure. But one report that did come out, Mads Gilbert, a Norwegian doctor working in Gaza, told Sky News on Monday that Israel is deliberately attacking the Palestinian population as a whole. They're not just targeting Hamas, as Israeli authorities have said numerous times. This Dr. Gilbert reports that Israel bombed a central food market in Gaza City. This is where civilians go. They're going to buy, food to feed their kids for the night. And Israel bombed it. We have all seen the photo of Israel dropping white phosphorus and thermite incendiary bombs over civilian population areas in Gaza. Israel is trying to claim they're only using these to create smoke screens for their troops, but this is silly. They're in the most densely populated strip of land on earth. You can't fire a white phosphorus round or bomb without having that burning white phosphorus hit people on the ground or at the very least hit homes and set them on fire. These are not targeted weapons on Hamas militants. These are wide area weapons of mass destruction. They're burning up entire neighborhoods with these things. Now, another report we're getting out is from a family by the name of Samouni, who is reporting that Israeli soldiers gathered 30 persons from the Al-Samouni family, herded them all into one house, and then shelled the house with everybody inside it. I don't know if you ever saw the movie The Patriot with Mel Gibson, and there was this horrendous scene where the British lock everybody in the church, and then they burn the church to the ground. And everybody said, oh, it's a reference to what happened down there in Waco, Texas. And maybe it was, and maybe it wasn't. But everybody agreed that that kind of an action of simply pushing all the civilians into a building and locking them in there and then destroying the building around them, that's an atrocity, and that's a war crime. And we're getting more and more reports of this kind of thing. And this is probably why Israel is trying to control the media and control the access. They're preventing the International Red Cross from going in there. They obviously do not want witnesses. And if these stories that are coming out are true, it is obvious why. Now, in response to all of this furor, Mauritania earlier today expelled their ambassador from Israel. They told him, get out of here. We don't like what you're doing. Go home. And in the world of diplomacy, this is very critical. It's basically shunning the nation. It's saying, we don't want to talk to you. We don't want to do business with you. You know, there's no reason for the ambassador to be here because we have nothing to say to you. We're not going to do business with you. Just before we went to show today, we got word that Venezuela has also expelled the ambassador from Israel. They've told him to pack his bags and get out. They're sending him home. We are hearing more and more businesses around the world are severing their business relations with companies that are in Israel. We are hearing renewed calls for boycott of all Israeli products as people express their displeasure. Now, we have to walk a very fine line here in the United States. Most Americans don't know this. There is actually, believe it or not, a law which makes it illegal for Americans to boycott Israel. You can boycott Mexico. You can boycott Canada. You can boycott France. You can boycott South Africa. You can boycott all of the Arab nations. But if you boycott Israel, it is a crime under U.S. law, which is one more indicator that Washington, D.C. is Israeli-occupied territory. And you think it's bad now. I mean, you know, Israel is occupying Gaza, and if they continue to occupy the United States, I think we can expect the same sort of treatment from them. I think we really can. Now, in light of these press reports that Israel has fired on two United Nations schools where civilians were taking shelter, I mean, these are people who were driven out of their homes. They went to the school just to get out of the cold. It's the dead of winter, even in Gaza. And then Israel shelled it and said, oh, they were shooting at us. Honest, they were. Really? We wouldn't lie to you. Dennis Kucinich has sent notice to Dr. Condoleezza Rice, Secretary of State, that Israel's actions in Gaza since December 27th may and probably constitute a violation of the requirements of the Arms Export Control Act of 1976. Now then, for those of you who are not familiar with what this is, the Arms Export Control Act of 1976 is the controlling legislation regarding the United States giving out bombs and guns and tanks and airplanes to other countries, mostly Israel. They get the lion's share of America's enforced generosity. And under the terms of the Arms Export Control Act of 1976, Israel is only allowed to use those weapons to defend herself from foreign invasion. She's not supposed to use those weapons to invade other countries, like they're doing right now. They're flying over Lebanon again today with their nice American-made, American-paid-for F-16s. They're not supposed to do that. And so while I don't expect the new Congress to do anything about it, Dennis Kucinich is underscoring the fact that Israel's use of these American weapons, the manner in which they're using them, is illegal. Because Israel doesn't own Gaza and the West Bank. They are illegally occupying those Palestinian territories. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
This is is the GCN Radio Network, home to hard-hitting talk radio.
Aloha, America, and welcome back to our show here. Senator Hiram Johnson, way back early history of the United States, observed that truth is the first casualty of war, and he was absolutely correct. Sun Tzu wrote that all war is based on deception. We have certainly seen it in the lies used to start wars in the past, whether it was Adolf Hitler's staged phony attack on the Gliwice radio station, the torpedoes that never really were in the Gulf of Tonkin, the non-existent Spanish mine in Havana Harbor that blew up the USS Maine. It seems like no lie is too great in the service of justifying the war machine, or the military-industrial complex, as Eisenhower used to relate to it. And as I commented, I don't know if you tuned into the Alex Jones show this morning, we were talking about this, and we were talking about how the biggest mistake that the leaders of the United States and of Israel are making is the people in charge, they're really a bunch of old Cold War-era fossils from the 1950s, 1960s, 1970s. And they don't conceptually grasp how the very nature of the way information flows to society has fundamentally changed because of the internet, because of the blogs, because of alternative media like this. It is a completely different flow, completely different infoscape. And as a result, they're still playing the game by the rules and methods that worked in the 1950s and 1960s. And they're not really getting a lot of traction, and they're scratching their heads and wondering why. We have seen over the last few days a very interesting evolution, if you will, in the presentation of the Gaza conflict on the corporate mainstream media. When Israel began its ground operation, it was like nonstop coverage with night vision scopes and graphics and charts. And then Sunday, about middle of the day, all of a sudden, the war moved off the main coverage, went down to the bottom crawl, and that was kind of it. And the regular coverage went back to celebrity news and all kinds of stuff like that. And it, I think, was the first signal that things are not going the way Israel wants them to. And I'm not necessarily talking about the situation in Gaza, because I don't think anybody has any illusions that Israel, with all of the billions and billions and billions of dollars, I sound like Carl Sagan, billions and billions and billions of taxpayer dollars, raining destruction and death all over the cosmos. So with all of that huge military might behind it, and the Palestinians having basically shoes to throw back, that Israel militarily is, in fact, inflicting great damage on Gaza with impunity. But they are losing this war in the court of public opinion. Israel has cranked up its public relations machines. The megaphonies are all over the net trying to spin the discussion to Israel's point of view. And the bottom line is everybody knows that's what's going on. They know it's not a genuine grassroots feeling about supporting Israel. They understand it's public relations, it's spin, it's organized operatives who are linked together so that they can go gang up on a particular website or a blog or a message board whenever the discussion tends to go into areas Israel does not want. But, you know, the lies are coming thick and fast. This most recent one from the attacks on the two UN schools, they said, oh, well, their militants were there and they were shooting at us, and that justifies us going in and shooting anything. They were making that same excuse about bombing the hospitals yesterday. Oh, Hamas is in there hiding, pretending to be doctors. No evidence, of course, of any of this. They're just bombing what they want to bomb. And after the fact, they say, oh, well, it was filled with terrorists. And they are really scraping the bottom of the barrel for propaganda, because just as we came back from that break, a new story has broken that Al-Qaeda is vowing revenge for the attack on Gaza. So the intent of this is now that Al-Qaeda is on the side of the Gazans, we're all supposed to obediently snap a salute and say, well, I must be on the other side, and therefore I will support Israel and the United States as they bomb schools full of kids and hospitals full of already wounded people. Because after all, if I'm sympathetic to the Palestinians and the Gazans, then I'm supporting Al-Qaeda, and we can't have that going on right now. Frankly, I think probably within the next 2 to 3 days, they're going to dig up the corpse of Osama bin Laden one more time, put a really good makeup job on him. They'll get Jeff Dunham to come over, shove his hand up the back of the corpse, and do the new version of Ahmed the Dead Terrorist to try and scare us all into saying, oh, Osama bin Laden is on the side of the Gazans, therefore we cannot feel any sympathy for them. Like I said, they're really scraping the bottom of the propaganda barrel, trying to find something that they can get traction with so that we, the people of the world, will be willing to turn our backs on the resistance fighters of the Gaza Strip and of Palestine. And I emphasize that because back during World War II, when it was the Nazis who surrounded the Warsaw Ghetto and were treating those people almost as bad as Israel's been treating Gaza, we honored and congratulated and lionized the people in that ghetto who fought back. And we've had movies over the years that we're supposed to admire and applaud the people who fought back against the oppressive occupier. And after an entire lifetime of seeing these movies that say, you know, your sympathy should be with the people fighting back from the oppressive occupier, it's a very hard sell for Israel, who is now in the role of the oppressive occupier, to convince us that we should not feel any sympathy whatsoever for the people living under an oppressive occupation, which is exactly what's going on in the Gaza Strip. Israel does not own that land legally. Israel does not own the West Bank. They are militarily occupied lands. They are illegally occupied because the United Nations, back before the United States, was hamstringing it at every opportunity. The Security Council passed Resolution 242, which said Israel had to get out of those occupied territories. And Israel, as has been its want all these years, simply ignored the United Nations and said, we're in here and we're going to stay. And they've been crushing down the people. They've been building settlements. They've been relocating people, all of which are violations of international law. And so they're trying to find some way they can convince us that Israel is right and the Palestinians are wrong. And it's a hard sell. And they're getting desperate. They're dragging out Al-Qaeda now. And more people in the world are aware that Al-Qaeda itself is a manufactured bogeyman. It is no more real than the Polish enemy that Hitler created to attack the radio station at Gliwice. It's a manufactured enemy. Al-Qaeda, in Arabic slang, means the toilet. The name Al-Qaeda literally translated means the base and referred to the database of the Mujahideen fighters that were aiding the CIA in Charlie Wilson's war. But in Arabic slang, it means the toilet. And that tells you right there that whoever invented Al-Qaeda was not a real Arab. It was some bozo in CIA Langley back room who wasn't thinking very well. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Radio. You're listening to the Genesis Communications Network. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We were talking about the sheer desperation we're seeing on the side of Israel's supporters to try and control the flow of information. We are just now getting word that the website of the Palestine Chronicle has been hacked and taken offline. If you've been trying to reach it and you can't, that is why they're working to repair the problem right now. Our website at whatreallyhappened.com has been under hacker attack for most of this last week so far. We've been very fortunate in that they have not been able to get past actually even the first layer of our defenses at this point. So we're very, very fortunate and very grateful to our IT people who have built a very, very secure system. Now, we've got some callers waiting on the line, and I guess we're just going to go right to them. We've got Henry in Oregon. Aloha, Henry. Welcome to the show, and what's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Hey, man. Thanks for all your hard work. Anyway, sorry. Yeah, I might get a little emotional here, okay? Thanks for all your hard work on this stuff, okay? Yeah, because it's surreal, kind of, you know? I mean, sometimes you hear about it, you've talked about it, but when it actually really happens, it's kind of weird, huh? So, I just No, go ahead.
No, it really is. There's a very strange feeling, like when you've been forecasting and predicting all these things are going to happen, and then they start unfolding in front of you, and it's like there's almost a dreamlike or nightmare-like quality to it, and it's like watching a slow-motion train wreck or a slow-motion shipwreck. And I remember years ago when I was down in Australia, and I spent a lot of time sailing on the recreation of the Bounty they have there in Sydney Harbor, and I remember watching it come into the dock one time, and I could see it was coming in too fast, and it's a sailboat, so they don't have a lot of maneuverability, even with the engine on board. And it was coming on and coming on and coming on, and there was nothing you could do except watch it, and you knew it was going to hit, and you knew it was going to be damaged, and there was nothing you could do about it. And it's very frustrating. And then in the current situation with Gaza and Israel, and real lives are on the line, it's an even worse feeling. Anyway, I didn't mean to take away from you. What's on your mind?
No,
today?
I thought that was great. That was a good point, man. That was good. It's just, man, hey, I just wanted to, I'll make this quick, and thank you for taking my call a little early. I have to leave in a little while. But anyways, I'm a Christian, you know, and I don't mind atheists because God gave free will, and I think we need to respect that, and I like you very much, you know. And I really like the hard work you do, and I really appreciate that you're fighting up for civil rights and the right human rights and that kind of stuff. So I really like you a lot. But I wanted to just say, as a Christian, dear Lord, I can't stand this. I had an email from someone, and I'll let you go. He says, you know, Israel will be obliterated and God will smile. He just wrote a really line to me. But that's it. I don't know if I need to go. I'm a little bit emotional. Maybe I'll call you in a couple of days. We'll talk more. But thank you for everything that you're doing, okay?
All right. Thank you very much as well. And, you know, the issue is, I think, obviously, being an atheist myself, I don't think God really has anything to do with it. Everybody just uses God as an excuse to do what they're doing, whether it was the unholy crusades, as I like to call them, or what Israel's doing in Gaza, or what in times past the Muslims have done back in the other direction. Everybody cites God as their authority to go out and do some very ungodly things. We're going to switch over to Renee in North Carolina. Aloha, Renee. Welcome back to the show. What's on your mind today?
Yes, you've been really doing a great job at covering the whole Gaza situation. And I think you even made a point about it, too, about how there will probably be, you know, the Jews are going to be rolling out all their propaganda. You know, look, it's, you know, if they have
the
a
Israelis.
Hangnail, it's horrible.
The Israelis.
The Palestinians Hello?
I'm sorry to cut you off. The Israelis are rolling out the propaganda because there are a lot of Jews who don't agree with what's going on because they realize it's actually making the world far more dangerous for everybody. So it's the Israeli propaganda, not the Jews. It's the Israelis.
You're right. My slip up.
Okay.
Yeah, that was my slip up. You're right. But it's just, you know, this double standard that's going on. And there's three big examples right now in the news. That are, you know, if people can just notice how the people with the long end of the stick, their problems are made such a big deal of when there are people that are bearing much heavier burdens, like the big interview with Patrick Swayze talking about his year of hell. And I don't mean to diminish him. I like Patrick Swayze, but it's like the thing is there are other people that have no money for their cancer treatments and are having to search the net maybe for, you know, hoping that baking soda and maple syrup cure really works, okay? And then there's John Travolta, and it's tragic what happened to them, too. But you know what? I bet in this past year there's been a single mother with a child who died of a seizure, and she had to get by watching that child, and she didn't have two nannies. And then when it's not bad enough her child died, she probably was trying to figure out how to scrape up the money to bury him. But are we hearing about that? No. And then now we have the German billionaire who just committed suicide. And they're saying, oh, how when his empire started collapsing, it broke his spirit. Well, you know what? Even though he loses so much, it's not like it was going to affect his lifestyle. He'd still have millions. What about the broken spirit of the people sitting out with their furniture on the curb in front of their house? I'm so tired of the media making such a big deal of the pain and suffering of the famous and the wealthy and the powerful when they have a loss. When there are people suffering the same thing and worse, and there's dead silence on it. I'm really angry about this.
Well, the reports that you're talking about, they have a purpose. Partially, it's distraction. We're going to be talking about that in a little bit. The one about the German billionaire killing himself, it's a blatant attempt to build sympathy for the ultra-rich who got us into this mess to say, oh, they're suffering too, and we should feel bad for them, and we're all in this together, and of course, we're not. And the bottom line is, the comment I wrote when I ran the story earlier today is, if having to live cheaply is a fate worse than death for the rich, why do the rich work so hard to force the rest of us to live that way? So, you know, and I'm sorry the guy killed himself, but the bottom line is, whether it is him or John Travolta or Patrick Swayze, and I actually know Patrick, I worked with him on his very first movie called Skate Town USA. It's probably a film both of us want to forget was ever on our... But the thing is, what happens to these people doesn't affect our lives. It is not going to affect our ability to make our mortgage payments. And if you want to talk about children dying, and I feel bad for the Travoltas, and I don't mean them any ill, but what about all the mothers in the United States who have lost their children in a war started with lies, which is being perpetuated for no reason anybody can see? And if Israel is able to take this war in Gaza and stretch it into Lebanon, which they're trying to do, they're already overflying Lebanon with their American-supplied F-16, and they can get this war in Iran going that they're still talking about even today, we're going to have a lot more American children getting killed, and that does affect all of our lives. And it is absolutely a betrayal of the corporate media, which prides itself on being the watchdog on government abuse, that they are not reporting on this.
Well, that's just it. I'm with you. I feel bad almost saying this. You know, I think Patrick Swayze and John Travolta, you know, seem like really nice fellas. But the deal is just like, you know, there are so many people that are suffering so much worse. And, you know, what do we tell them? Well, you know, you must have done something to deserve it. You need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And comments like this. And they don't have bootstraps to even start to pull themselves up with. And they're, see,
we've been throwing them at Bush.
It's like, what's that old saying? I don't know, you maybe know who said this. There's a saying, most people lead lives of quiet desperation. There's a hell of a lot of quiet desperation going on in the United States.
Can't say that word on this here radio.
What?
You can't, the H word, you can't say that on this here radio. But you're absolutely right. I forget who said it, but it was lives of quiet desperation. It was a very popular phrase about the same time that Nixon was talking about the silent majority. And it's absolutely true. You know, we see the celebrities wallow in their self-pity for the media opportunity it provides, and yet we're all supposed to just suffer in silence. We got to take a break here for some commercials. Thank you for the call, Renee. Please call in again. We'll be right back.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the last segment of today's show. We've got so much news to cover. I'm just going to race through some of these stories here. We're going to start off with the latest chapter of Swindler's List. We have Bernie Madoff, and as in Madoff with the dough, and his wife were caught wrapping up, packaging, and mailing their personal jewelry to friends and relatives in other parts of the world, primarily Florida and Israel is what we're hearing. This is a violation of their bail, because in theory, everything the Madoffs own is now subject to confiscation in order to repay his investors. Now, yes, Madoff Investments was a corporation, but you need to remember, corporations will protect the corporate officers from personal losses only so long as the corporate officers can demonstrate they were obeying the law. Bernie Madoff obviously was not. Therefore, his personal assets and personal wealth are attachable to repay the investors. So they don't technically own that jewelry anymore, but they were packaging it up and mailing it out, clear violation of the bail. And also, if they're trying to, like, get all this jewelry hidden around the rest of the world, it means that Bernie Madoff is not planning on spending a significant amount of time in jail. And yet, despite all of this, the judge today refused to put Bernie Madoff in jail, send him back to his home where he can serve his sentence comfortably. And he's allowed to leave in the daytime and go about his business doing whatever he wants. Folks, they want this guy to get out of town. They're leaving the door wide open for him. They've got the red carpet rolled out, or in this case, the blue carpet. And they want him to go away. He's a live liability right now. They're letting him sneak a bunch of his wealth and money out of the country so he can go someplace else and live out the remainder of his life quietly in comfort. And he won't be an embarrassment to anybody, because a full investigation into Bernard Madoff is going to involve a lot of other investment companies that are also operating as Ponzi schemes. And they want this guy to go. It's the only possible explanation. I mean, they caught the guy violating his bail, and they still won't lock him up. They just let him right out the door and say, go back and try again. All right, the Dow, again, was up and down all day long. It ended up plus 65, just enough to sort of scrape back into the 9,000s by its fingernails. Meanwhile, the other economic indicators continue to be down. Logitech is cutting its staff by 15%, and these are people who make a good product. You know, when I'm going to buy a mouse or a webcam or whatever, I mean, I got tons of Logitech equipment here, and I absolutely love it. Toyota suspends production for 11 days in all of their factories in Japan to basically deal with the decline in demand for their cars. Health insurer Cigna Corporation is cutting 1,100 jobs. And it's just, the news continues to be downturn everywhere, and in what is perhaps an inevitable, if tragic, sign of the economic hardships, the operators of brothels are reporting a glut of job applications. The Bunny Ranch in near Las Vegas, Nevada, apparently had 1,500 women apply to become prostitutes in December alone. 1,500 women. That tells you right there just how bad things are getting out there, which, you know, the women who work at these places can actually make a pretty good living at these. And one of these days I'll tell you the story about this woman I went to college with, and we were platonic friends, but she was in that industry and she did actually rather well. But I digress. Now, in Washington, D.C., we're getting a lot of these other stories. Roland Burris was basically blocked from taking his Senate seat this morning. They're still claiming that his seat is tainted. That's not really a legal justification to block him, because good, bad, or indifferent, Blagojevich is still the governor of Illinois. He has not been impeached. He's not been charged. He's not been tried and convicted. He has not had his legal authority rescinded in any way. It is still his choice to make. And the U.S. Senate does not have a legal ground for refusing to allow Burris in. They don't. They're grandstanding. It's a make news event. It's to get camera time and face time. Now, Al Franken, who despite being certified by the Minnesota Board of Elections, was also refused entry because Norm Coleman is going to be filing new legal challenges to Al Franken's victory. This is going to drag on for months. Again, big news being bandied about the media. Bill Richardson withdrawing his nomination as Commerce Secretary. We got a nice little soundbite from Obama praising Bill Richardson for his honesty and probity and blah, 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 blah. Then we got Bush is giving John Howard and Tony Blair the Freedom Medal. That's a spectacle of psychopaths honoring each other. And it led me to conclude that the morality of any nation ultimately is inversely proportional to the number of medals they hand out to each other. The more medals you've got, the worse the nation is going to be. Boy, remember how many medals they used to put on the chests over there in the Soviet Union? And the Nazis. The Nazis were real big on medals. The more medals, the lower the morality of the nation. Sarah Palin, I thought we were rid of her, but she's getting her camera media time today. She's upset that the media is calling her daughter and the daughter's boyfriend unwed parents, which is what they are, and high school dropouts, which is what they are. And I'm looking at this and saying they're trying to make news because the Israeli attack on Gaza has turned into such a public relations disaster for Israel and for the United States. They're trying to make as many news stories as they can so they don't have to go back and talk to Gaza. Now, we are hearing over our email that NBC is finally starting to report on that Norwegian doctor about the targeting of civilians. But remember, once it's here on the blogs and on the net, the TV networks have to cover it. They can't be seen not to be reporting these stories. So that's what's going on here. I got an email from a listener. Israel bombed a UN school. They are beginning to act like a totally out-of-control brat having a meltdown. Well, that's absolutely true because Israel has never suffered a negative consequence from anything it does, and it's grown up these last 60 years into a bully. Everything it does is justified because God told them to, and nobody will dare attack them because they've got the big brother, Uncle Sam, the United States of America, with its nuclear arsenal ready to deal a swift and painful death to anybody who dare stand up to them. So, of course, yeah, Israel's grown up as a spoiled brat. It's allowed to do whatever it wants without restraint, and yes, that's how it's acting right now. So, anyway, all right, we've only got a few minutes here. I want to make a comment here about something that happened, a very, very tragic situation. The police are really getting out of control here. We have a prominent Austin anti-war activist, because he's having to go to court and testify in a case, has admitted that he has been working as an FBI informant. The FBI is still playing these games. They recruit informants. They have them infiltrate the anti-war groups to cause trouble, to cause disruption, to frame people and set them up for prosecution, which appears to be what's happened here. Meanwhile, another student was apparently one of the reenactors. I don't know if you know about this. There are people in this country, and yes, I used to be one of them. They will dress up in historical period costumes, whether it's the Renaissance Fair or the Civil War Association or the Society for Creative Anachronism, and they like to dress up and they like to be living history and show what it was really like. Well, apparently police were called to the house of this student who was a World War I reenactor. He opened the door with his uniform on, holding his rifle, and the police shot and killed him. The police are trying to say that this student, who was a known reenactor, they're trying to say that he threatened them with the gun and refused to drop it when he was told, and therefore the shooting is justified. I don't think so. I think this kid opened the door, the cops saw the rifle, and they just overreacted, and they blew this guy away. Absolutely. Now then, turning to the Maryland State Police, we're almost out of time here. We've got 1 minute left. The Maryland State Police investigation of advocacy groups, their surveillance, they were watching people. They had no business watching. It's coming out. They were spying on animal rights groups. They branded the DC Anti-War Network as a white supremacist group, which put them on all kinds of FBI watch lists and said potentially violent. They are, of course, not. It is just typical of the out-of-control police state that we have. They're spying on us all, and even when they spy on us, they can't get the information correct. They just brand us with these labels so that our permanent secret government file can be used to repress us and control us and prosecute us if necessary down the road. That's the end of our show today. We'll be back for Hump Day, our show Wednesday, tomorrow night. Phone calls, news, whatever. Until then, stay safe, be well, and aloha, America.